You have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 13. 1 Peter 3 and 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as your Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet, with gentleness and with reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. May we handle your word accurately and communicate it clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of God often includes suffering. Down through church history, and in the church almost worldwide, I could make that statement and it would ring true. There'd be no question. But you and I live in a time and in a culture where we want to deny the truth of that statement. There's a move among the church in our culture to teach that God's desire for every man is to have wealth and health. Some refer to it as a prosperity gospel. And so anytime there's a problem, we look for as quick and as simple a way to get out of it, whatever it is. There can be nothing good in any challenge. There can be nothing good in any suffering. When the truth is, Scripture tells us over and over again in many different ways, there are some things, some truths, we will just never come face to face with until we're flat on our backs. And until we're on our knees before the Lord asking why. Sometimes we can become so comfortable with taking care of everything ourselves that we need to be challenged. We need to be brought to our knees. We need to be drawn into the presence of our Savior. And that's the grace that God gives to us when He allows us to go through times of suffering and challenge. Today we begin Peter's look at the reasons for suffering. The next section will help us with proper reaction to suffering and challenge. But today the reasons for suffering, and not simply the circumstances, but also the divine reasons behind suffering. Sometimes we say God can bring good out of our trials. We don't always mean it. But the truth is, regularly, that's exactly what He does when we give Him the opportunity. The first reason is here in verse 13, and it's fearlessness. Verse 13 says, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for doing what is good?" Now, who stands in objection? Who tests? Who tempts? Who tries to lead you aside? Well, Satan does. But what is there to fear when we are pursuing good, pursuing obedience, pursuing righteousness, right choices? If challenges come, we know that God will see us through it. Satan is limited. What's one of the big takeaways from the story of Job? You know that's true, don't you? And it's there. Why? Because God only allows Satan to go so far and to do so much. He may be the prince and the power of the air, and he may have tremendous influence, but all of it falls under the sovereignty of God. God is still in control. And if God is in control, then I have nothing to fear. No one loves me, no one cares more about me than my Heavenly Father. So I can pursue obedience. I can pursue faithfulness. I can do what's right when everybody else around me isn't, if that's necessary, knowing that nothing can happen to me that God hasn't first signed off on. The lesson from Job. Fearlessness. The first part of verse 14, blessing. Blessing out of suffering. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, what does he say? You are blessed. One of the conclusions that both Peter and Paul came to was that it is a blessing to suffer for the cause of Christ. It is a blessing to suffer as Christ suffered. Oh, not with the same result, not in the same way. But to think, Paul would say, that God thinks enough of me to suffer for the cause of Christ? Can you imagine thinking that way? Paul did. Peter did. And he tells us we should too. Why is God asking you to go through this? Why is he testing you in this way? And you've heard me say this before. Like every good teacher, the test is designed for you to pass. The test is designed for you to learn and grow and mature and become more and more like the person you've been called to be. And we can start right at the beginning and say, okay, God, I'm not going to enjoy this. And he doesn't ask us to. I'm not going to enjoy this challenge. I'm not going to enjoy this suffering. I'm not going to enjoy this test. But I am blessed that you think I am up to it and that you will be there with me taking me through it so that at the other end of it, I will be the man, the woman you want me to be. I am blessed. I am highly privileged, Peter would say. So along with the fearlessness, I have, who can hurt me? Along with the blessing, I'm privileged to go through this. There is an opportunity that's built into it. Last part of verse 14. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. That's a quote from Isaiah 8:12, Peter's Bible. Don't be intimidated, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Now, what is that? Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Well, let's think a little bit about what he's talking about there. He's not just casually referring to one person with two different names. Christ, that's what Jesus came to do, to be the Messiah, the Redeemer. That's what Christ means. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. And he did it as Lord. He did it as God himself. Peter, at this point, is assuming that you know he was Mary's boy, Jesus. All man, all God, the only one who could die for your sins and mine, be the Christ, the Redeemer. Sanctify him. That's understand in your heart and in your mind, separate him from everyone and everything else. The Lord Jesus Christ was not just a good man who taught well, and we should listen to some of the things he said. He needs to be set apart as someone altogether different, other. He is God. He is our Savior. So understand him that way. And as a result of that, then, here's the challenge. Always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. That's the opportunity. When you're going through suffering, when you're going through a challenge, when you're going through a difficulty, and you're going through it obediently, righteously, somebody's going to ask you why. How are you handling this? I'd be falling apart. I don't think I could do this. Well, let me tell you what. I couldn't either without Jesus. For those of you who are golfers, it was teed up and you had to hit it. I couldn't do that. Well, I couldn't either without Jesus. I couldn't either if God didn't love me and if Jesus hadn't died for me, if he wasn't my Savior, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit within me, guiding me and directing me, giving me the confidence that he's in control, he's sovereign. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who does. And he's my Heavenly Father, and he loves me more than anybody else does. Now, sometimes we quake at the idea of sharing our testimony. But any one of you can do that. Just tell your story. I remember the first time I went through this situation just like you are. And I was just as lost and just as confused and just as angry and upset. And then somebody came along and told me that God loves me and that Jesus died for me. And I tried everything else until then. I thought, what have I got to lose? And sure enough, Jesus is exactly who he says he is, the very Son of God, my Savior. I read about him in this book. You can do that, can't you? It's the opportunities that come sometimes in the midst of the suffering. How are you handling it? Sometimes it's even in admitting that, yes, I know God's in charge. I know he's in control. But you know, I'm still hurting. I'm still a little confused. I still don't know for sure where all of this is going. But I know who I can trust. And when I get confused, and when I find myself crying because I feel so alone, there's my Heavenly Father reminding me, I got this. Trust me. So do it, Peter says, with gentleness and reverence. Now that's almost humorous coming from Peter, but he'd learned a lot since we first met him, when Jesus first called him. We don't need to beat people over the head with our Bibles or with Bible verses. Again, just tell your story of how God loved you. And then share the part of the story that applies to whoever you're talking to. But do it carefully, lovingly. Verse 16 says, keep a good conscience, so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. That reminds me that I need to be careful about how I'm living. So that when an indictment is made, when a challenge comes, my words ring true. There's evidence, life evidence, actions that fit the words. I think it was St. Francis who said, I share the gospel every day. Sometimes I use words. We need to remember that. Our actions need to back up our words. Our conclusion this morning is verse 17, because it's provides us with a good jumping off point and the confidence that comes with obedience. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. There are consequences to the choices that we make. Sometimes we make righteous, obedient, confident choices. And Peter is saying, don't worry about the results. Suffering may come, but you're suffering for obedience' sake. The last thing we as Christians want to be doing is suffering for sinful choices. Consequences that were not necessary because of the choices that we made. When we're living obedient lives to the best of our ability, we can't do it perfectly, but when we are living obedient lives, we can be confident that the suffering that we endure has a purpose uniquely designed for us by a Heavenly Father who loves us and only wants the very best for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Again, I pray that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that we can leave here this morning with your word resonating in our hearts and in our minds, not with anything else. So that we're reacting, we're responding to what you have said to us this morning. Challenges come. We live in a sinful, fallen world. Paul told us the closer we live to the life you've called us to, we are going to suffer. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will know persecution. There will be challenges. But you have a purpose for all of them. There's fearlessness, blessing, opportunity. And in the midst of it all, confidence. The confidence that comes through obedience. May we incorporate these truths into our lives today, this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.